Welcome.
Welcome to the You and Me podcast, the show where we dive deep into the beautiful world of weddings. I'm Laura, the founder of Wonderlust Creative, an international wedding planning and styling company servicing a global collective of loved up couples.
And I'm Andy, the founder of The Bridal Journey, a source of inspiration for brides, and Revealed, a wedding marketplace where brides can buy and sell pre-loved wedding items.
In each episode of the You and Me podcast, we sit down with a real bride who openly shares their unique wedding planning journey. From the excitement of the proposal to the magical moments of her wedding day, we delve deep into the emotions, the challenges, and the triumphs of planning a wedding.
Join us as we celebrate love, offer practical advice, and share the experiences of brides just like you.
Prepare for heartfelt conversations and inspiring stories on the You and Me podcast.
Welcome to the You and Me podcast, Lauren. We're so excited to have you on, especially because your wedding was only about 6 weeks ago at time of recording. So it's nice and fresh.
Yes, very fresh.
Yeah. And we'll just get started with our first question is, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
I can. So my name is Lauren Brown, previously Burns. I live on the Central Coast, which is about an hour and a half north of Sydney, for those who don't know. But I'm in Sydney all of the time for work, probably 2 to 3 times a week minimum. I work in the fashion industry as a creative, but I also work in the renewable energy industry, which not many people know.
Well, Lauren, let us in on how you met your partner. Well, your now husband, Cameron. How did you guys meet and how long ago? What's kind of your backstory?
So we met in 2015, which was our last year of high school. So we were like 17. The HSC, I was adamant I did not want a boyfriend. I had to focus on my studies. but when you know, we were like pretty inseparable. We met through my version of the story is we met through mutual friends at like someone's party probably. But his version was he thinks that we met at the movies like a year or something prior.
Did you leave a real impression on him?
Well, I remember the night he's talking about and there was like a row of boys seated behind us and they kept kicking our chairs. They were those annoying 16-year-old teenage boys.
Babe, I've got 2 boys, so I can see that happening already.
Yeah, when everyone's like, boys. Oh, the boys pick on you when they like you, it's annoyingly true.
Oh, God, nah. Not this new gen of men, I promise.
So, yes, we met, like 8 years ago now. And we were together for, 7 years before we were engaged. So Cam proposed last year in 2022. In April, he proposed over the Easter break, which was really, really nice because he's a primary school teacher. So he was on holidays and I was between 2 jobs. So I was kind of on a bit of a break as well. So it was really, really special. I had no idea he would propose, even though every year we do kind of talk about our aspirations. So, you know, when the new year rolls around, we try and plan for the next year, what do we want to achieve? And I was really eager to get engaged and to get married. I'd looked at rings because I kind of helped design the ring. I'm a bit OCD and I definitely encourage people to do that. Some people find it a bit odd, but it's really nice to do with your partner before or after the engagement.
Do you know, I think that's something that is interesting you say because I talk all the time with my couples about not having to do what the standard wedding expectation is, and one of them that people do not even consider is the ring. And yes, it's this, you know, expectation that he goes out and he gets your grandmother's or he designs from scratch or something like that, but that is just another, unless it's sentimental value, it is another wedding expectation that a lot of people have, and it is a lot of pressure on the guys. And you know, that is something you can do together, and it doesn't take away the specialness of it at all.
It's not like the proposal isn't about the ring, but the ring is obviously the thing that you wear the rest of your life, ideally. True. So it is important, but it's not like the proposal and how they decide to ask you and all of that is what's way more special.
Absolutely.
You did post a bit of your journey on your Instagram too, because it was by Kate and Cole, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it is absolutely beautiful. So I think you've pinned it to the top of your Instagram. So for anyone, yes, go to Lauren Burns on Instagram and have a look at this stunning ring. We'll put it up on our podcast as well. In post, but yeah, it's actually stunning. So good choice choosing to decide to do that beforehand.
Thank you. Yeah, they're amazing. And that's it. It's such a fun process. I think, you know, weddings, obviously it's a one day event. So I think like having these little things that you can do together, and, you know, if you just choose to get a dress and or design a dress, or, you know, have that process as well. Like, it's nice to have these little things which just make it feel like a whole journey rather than one day. So yeah, I'm a big advocate for that.
So because you guys kind of started this process together, how did you, and the proposal was a bit of a surprise, you mentioned. You didn't have any idea. You're together for so long prior. So it's like, in hindsight, can you see that there was anything in there that you could have picked up on? Or was he cool as a cucumber, Cam?
He was pretty cool. I mean, we obviously spoke about it and we looked at different rings because, yeah, and so I knew obviously it would happen within the year. I was like, yeah, pretty sure that, it would happen during the year. We probably were looking at rings, and I want to say around late Jan, early Feb, because it was while he was still on school holidays prior to going back to work. Mm-hmm. But so I didn't think it would happen as soon as April. I think that was the first thing. I didn't think it would physically, just happen that quickly. But I also was adamant that, like, our dogs, we have a golden retriever called Kevin, and he's we're obsessed with him. So I was like, oh, he'll for sure be a part of the proposal, like, for sure. That was like one thing. I was like, he'll definitely include him. So the day it happened, we actually went to Somersby Falls, which, again, for those who don't know, it's just like it's like a national park, before you get on the freeway from the Central Coast. And we had a lot of rain. So the waterfall, we were like, we'll go to the falls, like the waterfalls would be amazing. And you can't take dogs, obviously, it's a national park. So never in my mind would that be the proposal. And we got there and it was actually closed because we had that much rain that it was unsafe to go down. But we were like, oh, like, we've been a number of times before. We'll just go and take it really slow.
Oh, you rebels.
And, yeah, it was, I know. It ended up, again, being perfect, though, because there was no one there. Everyone else listened besides. And it was, there was so much, like, the waterfalls were beautiful. I couldn't hear anything because it was so loud. So I don't know what he said. I hope it was good. But I turned around and he was on one knee, and that's how it happened. So it was really, really special. It was nice.
It's the intimate proposals that I think get me the best, you know? Like, and like you said before, it's not actually about the ring, it's about everything around the ring. And I think, you know, it's really easy with Instagram and with expectations and industries that people are in at the moment, you know, it's easy to be sidelined by things like that. So tell us, Lauren, how did you then approach your wedding planning journey?
Well, I had a longer timeline. I wasn't too worried about when we would get married. Cam was pretty keen on getting married soon. He finds long engagements a little bit odd. I don't know why, so don't ask me. But I think because of, you know, life post-COVID, we'd lost a couple of years. We really wanted to travel again in that time, which I'm sure a lot of people did. Mm. So we were already planning a Europe trip, and then now we wanted to plan a wedding kind of in the same year. And when we started getting quotes around in all different venues across Australia, like, we looked interstate, we looked Hunter Valley, just up the, you know, an hour from where we live. It was really hard to find venues that would cater for a small number of people. A lot of them have that minimum spend, right? Like, they have that, it's like 120 people normally, I think. So it was really hard. We wanted to keep it small. And we basically, we were like, the two won't coexist. Like, we kind of had to pick one or the other. Okay. So we kind of, we were talking about it with our family and with our friends and just like tossing up ideas. We hadn't decided anything. And a number of our friends were traveling this current year. So at the time, the year ahead, COVID again forced everyone to wait. So we had about 10, 12 friends, which were all like, oh, we're doing Europe next year. Yeah. And then when we kind of spoke to our parents, they were like, oh, you know, we wouldn't be shut off to the idea of a wedding overseas. Like, we'd probably come if you did want to do that, because we basically were like, we'll elope and we'll come home and we'll just do like the registry office and just, you know, we have a house, so we've got a big mortgage, you know, cost of living, like everything these days. Like, it, we didn't really value spending, I guess, upwards of 50, 60K on a wedding. So we were just really, really fortunate that basically we were like, all right, let's get married overseas. So it was never, neither of us are Italian. We got married in Italy, for those who don't know. Neither of us are Italian. It wasn't a family thing. Like, we don't have any grandparents. So that was kind of took the pressure off. I've had a lot of people be like, you know, how did you manage it with elderly family members? And it was like, well, I don't have any alive anymore, which is awful, but it also, I guess, makes some of these decisions easier. So yeah, I think we were just really fortunate that our nearest and dearest were happy to travel, or already they already were traveling for our special day. So amazing. it was really a lot of circumstances which just made it really lucky.
And so how many people did you end up having at your wedding?
We had 20 people, so 22 including us. Yeah.
Incredible.
It was really, really lovely.
And so you said you got married in Italy. Tell us about whereabouts, firstly, and tell us about the journey over there and what suppliers, if any, you could have brought with you from Australia, or did you rely on all local Italians, or walk us through where you chose and you know, who you chose to work with.
So we ended up getting married at a property called La Bandita Country House, which has, however, since been sold. So I don't know if it will be open for events anymore, but that's what it's called in Pienza in Tuscany, in the Tuscany region of Italy. We basically, from the beginning, neither of us can speak Italian, so we knew we needed a planner, which I would recommend, like, through, or like even just a day coordinator. I think a wedding planner or a coordinator of some sort is like the best money you will spend. So we were fortunate, again, we just found via Google, we just did a heap of research, and the mob that we found is called Love Story Events Italy. And the lady that we communicated with mostly, Hannah, lives in Sydney, but then her partner and her other staff live in Italy. So it was like, we would meet her for coffee and we'd chat here. And then Mary, who we had on the day as our planner, who's based there, she lives in Ravello, I think. Was like in all of the emails, was across everything. So it was, again, just one of those things which felt bizarre, like so perfect. And yeah, well, the venue, like, I remember when I was first chatting to them, I was like, oh, you know, like Lake Como would be beautiful, and like, yeah, Positano or Amalfi Coast and Tuscany, blah blah blah. And then we're rattling off budget, and we're like, okay, yep, Lake Como won't happen on our budget. So the venues were kind of, to be honest, we had it such a small group, because even the big houses over there, a lot of them do, well, at least the ones that we kind of came across, do sleep upwards of 30 odd people. We only had 20 or 22, I should say, including us. So yeah, we were limited by size, obviously by budget. We didn't want to spend anything too crazy, and our guests did pay for their accommodations. We also didn't want people to feel like they were spending all this money when they didn't need to. So that helped play, and then they basically helped us find all of the vendors. The only person we two people sorry we took across from Oz were our videographer and our photographer. I think photographers overseas, there were so many good ones, of course, like there's talent everywhere, but yeah, it was hard with communication, and because I think I work in the industry and I do have quite a clear, I don't know, idea of what I want, I guess. I wanted to work with people who I trusted and whose work, I didn't want to have any direction, you know, it's your wedding day. You don't want to have to stress that they've missed moments or anything like that. So I think Bianca Virtue, who was our photographer, again, best money we've spent. I think she was she's the one vendor that I think weekly I get people coming up and being like, oh my God, who's our photographer? Like, she keeps coming up, constantly coming up, which again, we lost so much time at our wedding because we had a weather issue. So the fact that she created like such amazing photos without, I guess, the luxury of time is amazing. And then Luca was our videographer, who's Gold Coast based.
And I think too, people don't realize that a lot of the photographers and videographers do the Europe summer. So it's not as perhaps expensive or blows out your budget because they're already over there. So you might only just be paying for the internal flights anyway, which I don't think a lot of people realize. They think, oh, they've brought over all these suppliers from Australia. Like, shit, their budget must have been like $200,000. And I don't think people understand that.
Could be achievable.
Mostly with videographers and photographers that are over in Europe perhaps anyway. So it's always best if you really love someone, like you love Bianca, and you really want them there, to perhaps inquire, because it might not.
Absolutely.
You know. And I just want to touch on too what you just said was with the weather. So what happened?
So, the weather. You know how people say it's good luck when it rains on your wedding day?
It rained on both Andy and ours and mine. So we're like, so
it happened to you too. Join the club.
When we say rain, like, it was like an electrical storm, like trees were getting taken out by lightning.
When did it start to happen?
Oh, okay. So the whole wedding day was perfect. So the morning was chill. It was blue skies. It was heaven. We started getting ready around 3:30 because obviously the sun sets a lot later at that time of the year in Europe. So we got ready around 3:30, still blue skies. Around 4:30 when we started getting our portraits, so the photographer and the videographer had both arrived. It was quite overcast and a little bit sprinkly, but nothing, not a deal breaker. And it would have been shortly after 4:30 because the ceremony was due to start at 5.
Mm.
Lightning, thunder, like everything. It was black outside. Like, you couldn't see the horizon.
Oh my God.
And right before go time. So our wedding plan, I was like quite chill. I think like Cam obviously was separate to me. So I think he was really stressed, thinking I would be really stressed.
Yeah.
And I think my parents and the guests obviously were all like, oh my God, like we've flown halfway across the world.
Mm, it's an electrical storm.
But I was quite relaxed because our wedding planner, like, she knows the area, right? So she was like, all good, like, this happens in here, like, it's known for this region, we'll get 30 minutes of a hectic storm and it will pass, all good. So we're chilling. Half an hour passes, an hour and a half passes.
Oh my God. And you still haven't walked down the aisle?
No, we've done nothing. We were in our separate houses, and it was getting to the point where we were like, we need to make a decision because 100%. They haven't been drinking and we hadn't eaten since
they're going to be fed.
It's like, what do we do? And the wedding planner was like, look, you have the luxury, you've got your venue for another 2 days. So she was like, why don't you just do the reception? Because all the food was cooked, like all the chefs and the extra staff we paid for were there. She was like, have your reception, do the speeches, have the party, and we'll do the ceremony and like the photos and things tomorrow. So basically at my first dress, I was like, we'll put that away and we'll just do the second part. We'll do it in reverse. So I got out of my dress into pajamas.
Wow.
Cam came over because we were in separate houses. So then we couldn't obviously communicate.
No.
So Cam comes over. We like had this big chat in the bedroom. We were like, well, that's like our only option because we literally can't go out. Like it's unsafe. So we told the photographer, like, they could only do first thing in the morning the next day, but they were happy to kind of hang around. So we're like, all right, that's the plan. And then we left the bedroom and we looked out the window. I don't want to swear, but, like, we were gobsmacked. We were like, is it sunny? Is that sun? Like, it just stopped. It was like, it literally just had stopped. Like, then the sun was shining through and then the clouds were still there. And we just like literally froze, and then all of our guests were like, well, at least I guess you could call them my bridal party, though we didn't officially have bridesmaids and things because the wedding was so small. They all just like got into act and they were like, go, 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 like shoving Cam out the door and go get dressed.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Frantic. So that was go time.
So back in your dress, pajamas off. Was this when you were in your pajamas, were they the photos? Because I think you're wearing Mason Essential.
Yes.
And were they the photos when you were on the staircase? That wasn't in between the
No,
storm?
That was when we were still chilling. That was probably, like 3:34. So we weren't kind of.
I'm just trying to place these photos. I'm like, I might have a look of hint of stress in your face. Or
seriously, yeah, no. So they were earlier. I lost that little lace slip. I got ready.
Back in your dress and ready to go.
They just went for it. Like, I think, again, we were lucky we had a small wedding because they wiped all the chairs down. Like, everything was soaking. So they wiped the chairs down. Our aisle setting was quite minimal. And we just went for it, basically.
And you got through it, Lauren? Like, it was fine? Oh, my goodness.
Until, like, 3 a.m.
Oh, perfect.
It was wild, yeah. So we lost, I guess, like the cocktail hour and the like canapes. Like we had 2 hours kind of up our sleeve for that. But it honestly, it didn't matter. Everyone was so emotional. Like I think especially with the wedding being so small and all of these people being so close to us, it would have been special regardless. But I think because it was so touch and go, everyone was just beside themselves. Mm. Plus everyone had been drinking for a few extra hours.
Everyone was blind by that point because we hadn't eaten. Oh, it was storming, so everyone was just like sitting there sipping. Everyone was really drunk.
Yeah. What else do you do? So yeah, that's the weather story.
Wow. It's a good story to tell when it's. And do you know what? It's just we've interviewed a few brides that have had absolutely storming, horrible weddings. Nadia Fairfax. She said we had no plan B. It was like a garden soiree out in the all the tables. So I think in between when it was raining, she just said she put herself in a room, regrouped herself, didn't she?
Yeah.
Just said to herself,
had to take a moment
the
and
reflection
just be like
of how I'm behaving and how I'm acting during this, because it's shit. We'll go on to my guest. So she said she went out, she put her dad on the stage and did this funny interview, and then they just like danced in this like room that wasn't like meant to be part of the wedding until it like had passed. And I think that's just so important, like what you were saying is it's something that's out of your control, and how you behave and act during that time, because you were saying that perhaps your partner might have been worried because he was worrying that you were worried, and the guests and stuff. Like if you just, it is what it is. You're all there. You can't let something like that worry you. You just have to roll with it. And as we always say, always have a plan B.
Definitely have a plan B.
Yeah, always have a plan B, because you might think, yeah, as you said, like you were in Italy, you didn't think that the weather would be like that. But you do have to have a backup every time, no matter where.
Well, one of the reasons, so I guess we did technically have a plan B, but we never thought about it because the forced plan B, which our wedding planner was basically like to us, the venue will make you hire this huge marquee in case of wet weather if you're 25 people or over, because basically in the main house there was like a dining room which they could squeeze 25 people in there if they needed to. In my head, I was like, oh, they won't need to. And I also, we were like, well, we're not forking out €5,000 on the off chance we need a marquee. So we were like, perfect. Again, helped keeping it small, which was always going to happen being overseas. Yeah. But again, thank God that we didn't, like I say, they would have made us pay for that if we did have more people. But I had to laugh because, again, you know, I feel like in hindsight I can say this. On the day I wouldn't have said it, but everything happens for a reason. And the dinner being in that big house was actually, because it was meant to be outdoors under all of these fairy lights, which we ended up just using as the dance floor because they couldn't move everything that quickly. And I loved it being in that inside the house because we had kind of the arches in the background. They moved all the our floral, like our aisle florals. It was just two big like plinths with the big bouquets on them. Moved them inside. It was all really white and clean and crisp, which is again like it's the kind of aesthetic which I like. So I had to laugh because I was like, I actually think I prefer the dinner being inside than the original plan of it being outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, how lovely. Yeah. I actually do have a question for Laura. Would you recommend brides do pay an extra for a marquee on the off? Like what if you're looking at your budget and it is $5,000 to book a marquee that perhaps you may or may not have, what is your recommendation if you're booking a venue like this and they're like the only other option is a marquee, this is going to cost $5,000, would you just say fork out the $5,000 and have it as a loss type thing for that backup plan, or what do you do in that
really
situation?
Interesting. So the last Euro wedding I was over was at the end of September, and the same kind of thing was the requirement. They could fit 75 max within their space. Anything above the 75, you had to put tables outdoors on the terrace and you had to have a marquee over them just due to it was in Lake Como. It was, you know, the weather out there coming off the mountains, it can either no weather hits it or it floods. So, yeah, being end of September, we had a marquee hired with a deposit that they would lose if the weather was amazing. And 3 days before the event, the groom called me and he goes, I've got a feeling, Laura. And I was like, Josh, those feelings don't, like, that does not set my planning like that as a planner. That is not what I want to hear from you, that you've got a fucking feeling. I'm like, that is not my advice, Joshua. But you know what? It was, it did. Everything came up trumps for them. So they were very, very lucky, because the weekends either side flogged. Absolutely. And if you were getting married in Como in July, you were underwater. So do I recommend a backup to lose a deposit just in case? 99.9% of the time I do. Only if the company allows you, and this is where having a planner involved is really important, or you've got to be savvy enough to read between the lines or know the terms and conditions. Because if you book a company that allows you to forfeit your deposit, but you need to make a decision 2 weeks out, it might not be worth it. But if you've got a company like we had that said 72 hours, if you want to cancel before the truck's packed, go for your life. And that would be the only supplier I would suggest to a couple to put a booking fee down. I mean, I think, like, I could be totally, my memory is not super great. You come out of those seasons and I'm like, I'm so stuffed. But, you know, it could have been €1,500 that they lost. But if they booked, being in Lake Como, being accessibility, if they had to then book a marquee 3 days out, it would have cost them in excess of 20. So you have to weigh up that cost as well. And you know, you were lucky with the internal. If I was you, if I was your planner and you said we can still fit inside, would I say book a marquee? Absolutely not. No, I would say risk it, because you've got the house to be able to fall back on. It is tough, you know, it's a tough thing. And luckily you had a planner that had coordinators on the ground that could articulate, you know, Italian, you could trust them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You had that backup as well, which really helped. And, you know, you had all the right things going for you, Lauren, and still the weather didn't, you know, play nice until the very end. So people you just don't know. But from my perspective, yes, if you do not have a backup like that that fits your guest, and you do not have a team that can pivot on the day and open to that, book and cover yourself. But if you are working with the right people, you should be okay.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. So you went, you put your wedding dress on, you took off your pajamas, put your wedding dress on, put your PJs back on, put your wedding dress back on. Tell us about your dress. How did you get it over from Australia, or did you get it overseas? What's the story behind your dress?
I got it in Australia. I was really fortunate to work with Kaya Scott, who's the owner of Kaya Studios, the most phenomenal designer. Couldn't be more me. I think everything about her brand was me already. I didn't go anywhere else from the get-go. Like, she was probably the only bridal shop or designer which I ever truly resonated with.
Mm-hmm.
So I, between Sydney and Melbourne, kind of worked on those appointments before I went, and I took it over hand luggage. I was never risking Mm-mm. anything Mm-mm. else. never risking anything. No matter how many air tags you have, don't do it. So I was pretty set on what I wanted to wear from the get-go. My first dress, my main, I guess, wedding dress, ceremony dress, was the one which I kept toying with different ideas. But my second dress, which was that halter neck slip dress, I guess my party dress or whatever people normally call it, always in my head it was going to be a high neck, a really low back, something really slinky and sexy and fun, but long. I'm not into minis. And it was really fun working with her on that, because, again, I think what we designed together, though they're both custom dresses, they're not dissimilar from what she makes, what she has online.
No, yeah. But they look, and we'll put all the photos up, but they were made for you. Like, I think that's what Kaya does so well. Every bride you see, it's like that was made you can't see them in another dress. That is so true who they are. I don't even know half the people, and I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. She takes classic silhouettes, use the halter neck still for an example. That's obviously not anything new. Every bridal brand has something similar, but she just makes them, like you say, exactly like you. She makes them a little bit different. We had the cowl neck With a bit of draping, which was really different. I feel like I haven't seen that before. And the really long tie, and there's just like little things she does, which I absolutely agree. She just hits them up. Like I couldn't, that whole experience is phenomenal. My first dress was the one I was like, oh, it's hard, isn't it? Like when you're a bride, I feel like you try so many different things and you want to do something maybe a little bit different because there's obviously so many beautiful gowns out there. You want yours to be a little bit unique, but also it's like the one you want to feel like yourself. Like you don't want to feel like you're playing dress ups. The dress, which is actually the very, very first dress I tried on, which I feel like this happens with a lot of people, was her Holston gown, which the embellishments on that dress, and there was like a bit of underwire cupping, which wasn't really me, but the back of that dress, it was like the one thing from the get-go. I was like, the back of this dress, I need it. Whatever we do, it needs to look like that from the back. Like I was obsessed with the silhouette. It was low, but it kind of had cut, it was like a square cut at the back and had some buttons. Oh, it was heaven. So we just worked with the front bodice. I knew then I wanted to be really, really firm. And though my dress did have straps, they were purely like for aesthetic reasons. The straps, she laughed and her team laughed when I said how far I wanted them to sit on my shoulders. They were like, does this bride know that these straps are not, like they're not doing anything, like they're offering no support.
But they look good. We know.
They look great. So again, for a dress which I think looks quite simple, right? The amount of work that went into that gown, it was a full couture like gown. It was the amount of fittings that we had to do to get that bodice right. Like I left, I think I had my second last fitting a month before I flew out to Europe. And it wasn't, they were still unpicking it and drawing on it and redoing everything. Like it wasn't ready until the last minute because it just had to be spot on. Like there was no room for error to have something that fitted with the back open and no straps. And it's just like that whole experience was mind blowing to me, especially I think like working in the industry, you don't see a lot of that normally. And I just was so appreciative. Like it was really, really phenomenal. Yeah.
Oh, Lauren. Yeah. It's funny what you look back on and remember, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that the dress experience can actually make or break your entire feeling for your planning journey. Like you have a bad experience and you do this 12 months out and it can really set a precedent. So I think that's really important for people to know, you know, like trust them, lean into them. But if it's important to you, you have to go to the best, you know, the best that you can invest in and work with them closely to make sure you can get what you're looking for.
I agree. Yeah, that's again one of my things, which looking back, I'm like, I'm so glad I had that experience. Just made the whole engagement wedding process just feel a lot more special and a lot more substantial than the one day. So yeah, I definitely agree.
So Lauren, one piece of advice you have for brides and grooms who either A, want to get married overseas, or B, want to have a small guest list. You know, what's your takeout from your experience of getting married?
I think I could not recommend a small wedding enough. I think we wrote our own vows. I think it's a very personal day. I just couldn't, neither of us are really extroverted people. So I couldn't imagine it any other way. I don't think it would have been quite as special. In saying that, I understand that we were fortunate, like I say, that our family, you know, they're not particularly religious, so they had no I don't want to say requirements, but they had no, I guess, strong wishes for us. The fact that we don't have our grandparents around made the overseas thing less of an issue with the travel. And then the travel as well, being overseas, you don't really worry about culling the guest list as much because a lot of people just understand without, there's no one, I guess, holding any bad blood because they're like, well, I wasn't paying $3,000 for a ticket over there anyway.
Yeah. And whatever. Like,
all good. Yeah. Even if you invited me, I'm not going. So I think we were fortunate, like I say, that stars kind of aligned and people were naturally traveling and therefore we didn't have, honestly, any issues with the location and with people not being able to go. I think if you have something small in Oz, it's definitely hard. I think it's worth doing if you can make it work. Top tips would definitely be to have a wedding planner, like 1,000%. I'm the most organized OCD person ever, and I still could not recommend a planner enough. You just never know what's going to go wrong on the day, not even weather, but if like a speaker doesn't work, like you don't want to be the one dealing with that. I think if you can do a pre and or a post-wedding something. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. Like our day after, we all just laid by the pool and had a big buffet of pastas, which didn't cost very much. And the day before, we had like a winery day, which everyone paid per head. And it was, again, it was like 30 euro for a three-course meal and 10 wines or something insane. I think if you can kind of do something around it, it takes the pressure off the day. Like for us, we lost 2 hours because of the weather, but in hindsight, that was no big deal at all. We had so much time with our guests. And just try and stay true to, I guess, you as a couple. Like, it's really easy, you know, to get wrapped up in bridal trends and what everyone else is doing and feel like you need to do more, or especially if you plan your wedding quite far in advance. I know a lot of people maybe then spend a bit more money because you have that time on your side. But like, it's an incredible day and you don't have to spend so much money to like have it be that special. Yeah.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. I have loved listening to all your tips because, you know, people look at the photos and they go, oh my gosh, like how perfect. And I think that's the thing. It's like, hey guys, here's some reality as well. It was perfect for me, but not everything goes to plan sometimes. So it was so, not that I'm saying rain on your wedding day was nice at all, but it was beautiful to hear how you navigated hiccups that were thrown at you guys as well. And you know, that is the reality sometimes. That's it. Exactly. Oh, Lauren, thank you so much. Congratulations. You looked incredible. So it was, wow. You know, so there are some people that do take your breath away sometimes, and you looked beautiful. So I'm glad that, you know, your day reflected that as well. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you both.